accession number 27079, Reel 1.
Mr. Shaw, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Shaw?
Yorkshire. Place called Sowerby, I think.
Date of birth?
8th of April, 1924.
How many children were in the family?
Five. All older than me. What happened was I was adopted very young. I don't know what age.
So your parents, you'd known a great deal about them. You'd know much about your parents when you'd been adopted?
No, I was too young. The first I remember is about 4 years old.
And your adoptive parents, were you with them for the rest of your days at home?
Yes, aye.
What did they call them?
Thomas Henry Shaw and Minnie Shaw.
And what did Thomas do for a living?
He was farming all his life, working on different farms sometimes, but always farming.
And did his wife or your mother work for a living? Was she working?
No, she was just a housewife most of the time, helping out on small holdings and things like that.
And the children in the family were they all hers and except yourself? Were you the only one adopted?
I was the only one adopted, yes. Mm-hmm.
The area you lived in then, was that an agricultural area?
The first place we lived in that I can remember is North Deaton, a village outside of Wetherby in Yorkshire. It's all agricultural. Farms all around.
Farm workers didn't get really well paid in those days, were they?
Good Lord, no. No, they were very poorly paid.
So was it a difficult upbringing because of lack of money?
No, I don't think so, no. We always had plenty of food and plenty of clothes. We weren't going around barefoot or anything like that. No, I'm reasonably quite happy.
And yourself, as the adopted one in the family, were you accepted completely as a...
Well, I didn't know until a lot later in life that I was adopted. So I was just one of the family.
Yeah. Which is, yes, that's right. You were just one of the family.
Mm.
The house you lived in, was it a large one? A tithe house, was it?
The first house was a tithe house, I believe, yes. Belonged to a local farmer. So if you left the job, you left the house as well. And we were there some years. I grew up. I went to school first at the next village, Kirkdeaton. Aye.
And did you like school?
Yes, funnily enough. Yes, I like school.
Was it a large school or a small school?
No, it was just a village school. I think it had two classrooms, that was all. It was two or three teachers that taught you everything. They taught you arithmetic and history, and not like nowadays where you've got 1,000 teachers.
Were you a good pupil?
Yes, I think so, yes. I had good reports as far as I can remember from school.
What role did the church or the chapel play in your lives?
I don't know. We used to go to one church in there was a church of Kirkdeaton. We used to go to that one. It used to be a Catholic church in times gone past, and it was a Protestant church. And then when we moved to another village, we went to the chapel there, so I wasn't quite sure what sort of religion you were. You just went here and went there, you know.
Conditions in the home, who was the disciplinarian between the parents?
The father. Mm-hmm.
And did he, was it corporal punishment if you did anything particularly wrong? Or?
No, not really, unless you did something seriously wrong, you know. I broke a window once and I think I got a bit of a belt for it, but it wasn't. It was just a reminder, like.
Keeping you say, you know, you're well fed, etc. About clothing, was it passed down from the eldest to the next child, or were you able to have?
Well, they were a lot older than me, the other ones. So, I think they used to pass clothing down, though, from somewhere. Yes.
It was quite a common practice.
Oh, it was a common practice in them days, yes. As was the patches on the pants and things. You had patches on pants and elbows on coats and things. But, with them being older than me, you know, there was nothing much to pass down to me.
What leisure activities did a young child get up to as you were growing up?
Roaming the countryside, mostly. Roaming the countryside. It's... everything was free and easy, you were safe wherever you want, wherever you went. Everybody knew you. Didn't matter where you were in the village, somebody had seen you going or coming, or then you had an idea where you were.
So, safe environment, you say?
Oh, safe, very safe.
Did you have neighbours?
Yes, in the village we had neighbours, yes. The first house we were in, the first house I remember being in. There was like a semi-detached house. We lived next door to our neighbours who worked on the same farm. And then there was other people in a small row of houses. Wasn't a very big village.
And as you say, everyone knew everyone.
Everybody knew everybody.
And were they good neighbours?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Helping out and borrowing things?
Oh, always. Always. Coming in and out the doors. Yes, I always borrow in something. You lent them something and you borrowed something off them.
Did the father get supplies from the farm as part of the work? I'm thinking of the...
All farmers them days used to get milk and potatoes, particularly, yes. Used to supply them with them. Of course, things like turnips and that, they were there if you wanted them, you know. It's
you get involved in harvest time?
Oh, yes. It was always a great time, harvest time.
Whole families would become involved,
yes,
in that.
Everybody would help out. Mm-hmm.
And this was the age of horses, of course,
all horses, yes. That was about 1913, what? I was 4 or 5 years old. I remember the first village in North Eaton. That would be 1934. Something like that. There was about 2 people in the village had a car, and they were farmers.
And they were the rich ones?
Oh, very. Compared to who was like. Yes.
As you got older and became into teenage years, you were still living in these village environment.
No, we moved from North Deaton and we went to another village about 5 or 6 miles away, and we lived in an old pub, the old Blue Bell at Tockwith. About 6 miles away from where he used to live. And there my mother had a shop, and she used to make homemade bread and stuff. I remember the elder sisters going round with the homemade bread. She used to get orders for it.
Was the pub open or was it closed?
No, it was closed.
Why is the move? Is your father still working on the land?
He finished with the farm where we were working, and I think he went sort of freelancing. He was going where the thrashing machines in them days used to go from one farm to another, all around the district. And he went there for quite a while. And the house wasn't didn't belong to any farmer or anything. It was just a rented pub, you know.
Did you leave school with any qualifications of any kind?
No.
Did you get involved in Boy Scouts or
no
organisations like that?
No. There wasn't anyone in the villages where we lived, you know, growing up, right? There was Boy Scouts and Boys Clubs and Boys Bands in the town, but not around the villages.
How old was it when you left school?
15.
And had you any ambitions to go into any particular trade at the time, or even into farming?
No, I used to, at school I used to love geography lessons. And I was always interested in things like these drawings of the mud huts in Africa and things like that. And I don't know, for some reason, nobody could understand it. I always wanted to go to sea.
There's no other influence, just school and geography?
Just school and geography, that was all. We lived 50 miles away from the sea.
So, did you announce to the family you were going to sea?
Mm-hmm.
And what
all they wanted to go to see, they knew that.
They knew?
Yeah.
And they were quite happy with that?
Mm-hmm.
At what kind of time after actually the day you left school did you go and seek a job at sea?
I was in the nautical school. The one at Blythe there. Nautical school, aye.
And so you'd still come quite away from where you were living, though, to
get there? Yeah, we had some relation up in Jarrow, something like that. And
you enrolled there in the nautical school?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of training and that did they give you?
Taught you seamanship, knots and splices and everything that you were liable to encounter at sea, you know.
Now, is this a free education or do you have to pay for it?
I don't remember anything for it.
Yeah. Had you to enroll with some company before you got in, or did you just went in?
No, if you went to sea as an apprentice, you enrolled with a company. But if you were just going as a messroom boy, a deck boy, it didn't matter. They didn't enroll you in anything like that. Just a matter of going down and going to the shipping office and getting to know what ships were signing on.
Did you enjoy the learning period at this nautical school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long were you there?
Nearly a year.
And had you completed the course by then?
Mm-hmm.
It was a year's course.
Yes.
And presumably that's when you, at the end of the course, that's when you went and looked for a ship in effect.
Yeah.
And where did that happen?
At South Shields. South Shields, you go down to the shipping office and inquire what's going on. There's always somebody talking and telling you what ships are going. And it was, them days it was quite busy, you know. You had no trouble getting away.
And can you recall that particular morning or day when you arrived at the office and what was said to you and what happened?
Well, I wanted a job as a deck boy, but there was no jobs going. They said, we'll sign you on as a messroom boy, and I took that. Get away to sea, you can always try for something else later on.
And they presumably told you what ship or ships were looking for these, for a mess boy?
Mm-hmm.
What vessel did they in effect give you?
The Alex. She was a Greek owned, it's a Greek company, sailing under the Red Ensign. with a British crew. She was a very old tramp steamer. I don't know how old she was, but she was ancient. And she'd come from Archangel with a load of timber. And I joined her and we sailed to Rotterdam and discharged there.
What date was this?
September 1939.
So your first job coincided almost with the start of the war?
Start of the war, mm-hmm.
Did it bother you that you were in the merchant fleet and the war was about to be had started?
No, you just wanted to go to sea. The bother didn't come into it. You were probably too young to realise at the time. It wasn't until later on during the war that you seen the rough stuff, you got the rough stuff. But at that time you were just young and daft and wanted to get away, and you were quite happy.
What are the duties of a mess boy?
You've got just looking after getting the grub out onto the tables and that for the mates and the skipper, engineers.
So did you work under the supervision of the cook then?
No, the chief steward. Chief steward looked after the mess room boys. The cook used to run the galley. He had the galley boy. Sometimes an assistant cook. Assistant cook and baker, he used to bake the bread and stuff. There were two different departments, but the same.
What time did your day start?
It was like a day work job. 7:30 in the morning until after tea, and after tea time you were finished. All your pots and pans were washed up and put away and you were finished for the night.
So you carried...
It was more or less day work, you know.
And you carried food to these offices and so on and took them away and washed up?
Yeah.
And that was basically your role. How much did you get? Do you remember your first wage?
It used to run about... It was 30 shillings, I remember, and I can't remember if it was 30 shillings a week or 30 shillings a month. Later on, I know we used to get £4.10 a month. £4.10 a month and some war bonus. But that was a couple of years later, so it was very little. It was very little.
And... What the conditions under which you were working? You said it was a very old ship.
Yes, we had there was two mess room boys and a galley boy, and we had a cabin amidships. All the catering staff, all us, had the accommodation amidships, and we shared the cabin. It was with three bunks in. It was quite an improvement to the deck crew and the engine room firemen and that, who lived in a forecastle, an open forecastle, you know, with about 12 bunks and a coal-fired bogey in the middle.
How big was the cabin? Were you pressed for space?
Oh, you hadn't a great lot of space, you know. You had a cabin and you had a bunk. You had a slim locker wardrobe thing, and there was like a chest of drawers, and you had one drawer each, and that was it. I believe there was a bit of a drawer cupboard thing underneath the bunk, and that was it.
So you wouldn't get a lot of privacy, really?
No.
You were on top of each other?
You were on top of one another, mm-hmm.
Did it cause problems from time to time?
No, we were just young daft lads at sea, you know. We used to get on quite well.
Do you remember the captain, your first captain?
Not offhand, but I've got it wrote down.
Was it, you say it was British crew, an all British crew?
Oh, an all British crew.
Mm-hmm. What was he like as a leader?
He was okay. As far as we knew him, you didn't see much of him. You saw him at meet times, maybe, or something like that, but you weren't on the bridge like the seamen who used to go up and steer the ship and look out and that. We weren't on the bridge all that much. You never saw much of him.
And your immediate superior, I think you said, was the steward.
The steward. Mm-hmm.
Do you recall him?
No. No, I don't recall him.
Do you recall how he treated you, do you?
It wasn't bad at all, and never used to interfere a great deal. Tell you off, maybe, if you'd done something daft or something wrong, but no, I never had no bother, no tellings off much, you know.
No bullying from the older members of the crew?
No, none at all. No.
What food would a crew get then? What kind of food were you eating?
The midship crew did a lot better than the deck crew and the firemen, but it was an old ship, and there was no refrigerators aboard. We had ice boxes. We usually get about a ton or a couple of ton of ice in a box, and put the meat among the ice. But of course it only lasted a few days, and you were on to tinned meat, tinned mutton, corned beef, some sort of tinned stewing meat, but we also had salt pork.
A bit old, a bit traditional that, wasn't it?
It was always, yes, and it was funny stuff with salt pork, because if you had a good cook, you could make good stuff out of it, but if you had a bad cook, you got salt pork. But a lot of cooks used to take it out maybe a day before he used it and soak it in fresh water and keep changing the water, and in the end you get a lot of salt out of it, and it was edible, you know. But if you had a bad cook, it was the fishes used to get it.
What about vegetables and fruit? And
well, that only lasted so long, and then you were on to all sorts of tin stuff, you know.
There was no fear of scurvy or anything like that, was there?
No, well, deep sea ships. I don't know what happened on the coast, because I wasn't on the coast until after the war, but deep sea ships used to get lime juice every day. That's why they call us limeys. The Yanks always called you limeys, because you used to get a daily ration of lime juice. Around about dinner time.
Was it a healthy life for a young lad?
Aye. I was a canny few years, and I can't remember really having a bad cold, only the once. And when I did get it, I was in port.
Was there any medical facilities on the boat if anyone did have problems?
Not like there is today.
No man with medical training.
Just the steward was the doc, the steward or the cook, funnily enough. And the steward used to keep stuff, maybe laxatives and iodine and bandages and that, you know, if you cut yourself or out like that. But there was no medical facilities.
Can you describe the boat, the ship? I'm thinking in terms of, you've mentioned one or two areas of the ship where people lived or slept or whatever. Can you describe the crew and their quarters on this particular ship that we're talking about?
Yes, it was an open forecastle. The open forecastle on the open forecastle on the Alex was up on the up under the forecastle head forward, and you went in, and there was a fireman on one side and the sailors on the other side, and there was double tiered bunks, It all depends how many crew there was. There used to be always a couple of spare bunks, but there was six, maybe eight or eight bunks. And in the middle of the room was a table, and the bogey I mentioned before there, it's just the round cast iron stove with the chimney going up, and that was your heating, that was your accommodation.
And you said that was poor compared with your own.
It was with our accommodation amidship, yes. Mm-hmm.
Was it a damp environment that they were sleeping and living in?
No, it wasn't particularly damp, because the bogey was going night and day, you know. Everybody's on watch all the time when you're at sea, and whoever's the standby man just kept the fire going. An endless supply of coal on, with coal-burning ships.
And smoky? Was it pretty free from smoke?
Well, now and again, it all depends which way the wind was blowing. You had a tin chimney going up, a steel chimney going up, and it had the H on the top. So it didn't matter which way the wind blew, you weren't supposed to get smoke, but now and again you got it, especially in bad weather, because the ship raises up and down and the smoke's going up, and then it just comes down and comes back down into the forecastle again.
And how many men would be sleeping in that area?
Well, there's generally about six deck crew, maybe two deck boys, and firemen. I think there was three a watch. I think there'd be about nine firemen.